Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, we welcome you to this portion of our program. And this is with Mufti Farhan Karani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Sahab.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, all is well. How's Mufti Sahab doing? Gee, Mufti Sahab, before we go to the topic, a few weeks ago we had that Mufti Sahab gave an interesting report back from another Mulana's experience. It was from Syria. And I was just wondering, and I said, let me ask Mufti Sahab, that this leader now of Syria, and his name is Ahmed Sha'ara. They met yesterday with Trump. He met with Trump. And I'm just trying to figure out or think that if you really hate someone and you really feeling, would you still go and sit with someone and have an open conversation with that person? Or is there something that we should be knowing here? Perhaps Mufti Sahab can share with us something.
That seems rather strange that the new Syrian government has so close links with the US and even Russia. And he even went to Russia. He's meeting all leaders around the world. Just yesterday, Trump announced that he has dropped all sanctions on Syria. So now all trade can resume normally as normal with Syria. And if you look at his dressing, his dress is better than suit and tie and things. And if you look at his background, he came from the jihad, from the front of jihad. He was on the forefront with jihad. So how can he just turn like it? Allah Ta'ala knows best. Maybe could be that Americans already got into his pocket and are paying him to slowly change the demographics of the region there, using him as a tool, ousting Bashar al-Assad and bringing this new leader in. Now they all start as good, new room team. So Allah Ta'ala knows best. We need to Allah Ta'ala just guide him and keep him talking to him, but maybe that he's using that as a tactic in jihad, the deception, trying to get close to them and then turning his back against them. We don't know what his tactics are, but we just hope, make sure that his tactics are good, beneficial for the Muslims. But now, it's becoming a little too much now. He fostered ties with the UAE, which is with a close ally of Israel at the time, to Israel and the 40,000 Israelis living in UAE. And, you can't even protest against Israel in the UAE. And he has ties with the UAE, and he has ties now with Saudi Arabia, with an ally of America. And it's a very confusing story coming out from Syria.
And earlier I was also saying that with regards to, we see these Syrians, they moving, you find them in different places. So here in Indonesia, they opened up a store here opposite the Shell Garage on Protea Avenue. And if you see, there's just next to the barber there's a Syrian store there. And they sell all these things. So one day I walked in there and I bought some. They sell this avocado drink. It's quite nice. So I said, this first time I'm here, let me just find out. It was a takeaway, just buy and go. So I said, while I'm here, while he's making it, let me just speak to him and ask him what's happening in Syria. So I asked him, what do you think about this person? He said, I wouldn't be too excited because this particular person, we were staying in Syria And we never heard of such a person before. He just came on the scene and all of a sudden he's got this position. But prior to that, if you take Hamas, they know who's, when these leaders got killed, you could see how many years they were in prison sacrificing. Mm-hmm. All the Palestinians knew who these people were. But here, some leader comes in, nobody knows, but he's got this position. So he said from that point, it should tell you a lot already. And he mentioned a few other things, but just to add to that.
It's true, because if you never heard of this person before, and all of a sudden he just stood there as a leader, he could be ushered in by the Americans to fulfill their agenda. Yeah, because, you know, the Americans are crazy. They always, they'll remove somebody who was on their side, and then all of a sudden they went against them. So they make sure they remove him and put somebody else who will listen to their dictates. So it could be that the Americans have, because Americans were there, the American forces were there in Syria all the time, even while when the Assad regime was being dismantled. The American forces were there even now, they at least 2,000, maybe 1,000, 2,000 troops, but there's still more troops there in Syria. So it could be they're making their hands involved in the whole thing, to topple the Bashar al-Assad. But you won't see any of that in the media or hear about it. So like Khomeini also, he was installed by the British. The Saud family was installed by the British also. The Taliban were trained by the Americans, and then they went against the Americans. So all this, the Americans use whoever they want, and when they can't use them anymore, when they start rebelling, then they tuck them aside and they bring somebody new. So not gonna know that what happened then.
Gee, and I think that's why it's important for the believers, to the audience and the listeners, to not just get carried away. Like, you just hear what Trump is saying, he's acknowledging the strength of the Houthis and the amount of statements he's made praising so-called the Muslim countries, the UAE and the Qatar, what they've done. Of course he's going to do all these things, because they're polishing him nicely and giving him all these things. So of course he's going to have that good. But
what was so strange is that yesterday, the Qatari, I think the president or prime minister, he offered them a $400 million grant to be used as Air Force One. $400 million, they offered him a $400 million, and Trump said that no, we can't put down an offer, we can't reject the offer like that. And so because they said, no, it's a security concern, you need the Air Force One, and you know, we can't reject the offer like that. It's a very good offer. And then Americans were pounding Yemen, and then all of a sudden they just stopped. America said, no, you know, Trump wants one. In the morning you wake up and you say, no, the war is over. You know, it's very erratic person. The war is over now. We had talked. Like, there was, so the war between the Houthis and America now is over. Why? Because the Houthis were punishing the Americans, the warships there. Every week, actually, there was one, Jeff F-16 falling off the carriers. Now, how does the F-16 fall off aircraft carrier? And they're losing like how many millions, hundreds of millions every week. And then the Houthis were attacking the aircraft carriers. So, and then all of a sudden, the whole thing is resolved. So there's no more war. But then the Houthis attack Israel. You know, that's not part of the deal. They start attack Israel. And then the Qatari making deals with, you know, I don't trust the Qatari government also. Because they are close to America, they are close to Russia, and then they mediate talk. I don't understand, sir, how do they mediate talk between all these countries? They're the good ones in the whole thing. When it comes to Syria and Bashar al-Assad, whoever is having problems in the world, Qatar is like the new mediator of the world. They're always mediating talk. But all, whether it's Hamas in Israel, in America is there, and whoever is having problems, Qatar is a mediator. It's something fishy there. And then you see like Pakistan and India, they just wrestling each other there, saber wrestling, and all of a sudden, 5 days later, the whole thing is over now. They have talked. India, so Trump tried to take the recognition. It just him who stopped the whole war. You know what I mean? The Pakistani commander, Indian commander, they talked and then they said they resolved the thing. Why? Because India was getting a beating there. And they lost five of those $250 million French military jets. And they just fell off from the sky. Those things don't fall off from the sky. Just like they were shot down. And so the America tries to take the credit for everything that's happening. So now in today's time, you can't trust any so-called Muslim country. They all have fell off. Like, look at now Saudi Arabia. Hosting the Trump there, Nafas, Nadi, Jinnati, hosting him there, and Elon Musk also. They all are on the business trip there to Saudi Arabia. And, you know, when a Kafir praises a Muslim, you don't call him a Muslim as the MBS guy, and when a Kafir praises you, you must know that you are on the wrong track. And they know that since I've been here, I'm 2017, my last. Now I'm serving this new term with Biden in between. The country is a different country. Like, our journalists, women journalists, don't have to wear the headscarf. They can keep your hair open. It's a big change. It's a big change taking place. So, it's not good. What's happening there in Saudi Arabia is not good. The devil from within is worse than the devil from outside. We got plenty of devils in the Islamic country who are destroying Islam from inside. And now again, the Iranians also, it's so funny. Always there's Iran against each other. Israel is saying, wipe out Israel. Israel is saying, wipe out Iran. And now America starts to deal with Iran. I don't know what, you they trust there. They know they are friends now, and they hope to better their relations and foster their ties. And I don't know what nobody even says. They don't speak about what deal they reached, but the deal that they reached now, they okay with each other. Although I don't know what's happening in the world. This politics can't trust any politician.
Gee, and that's what Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah. يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا and they deceive Allah and the believers. So the point is that we mustn't start jumping before time and say that, okay, no, Trump is, maybe he'll become Muslim also, you know, with the good treatment of Saudi and all of this. These are devils and they are agents of the devils and in the human form as well.
Now recently also there's other agents of Iblis popped up here in South Africa. Guy by the name of Yafir al-Hanafi, Yafir al-Shaytani. So this chap here, he went to PE. Look how audacious he is. He approaches Mufti AFSI in the masjid. And he starts this stuff, like, attacking, attacking him. Yeah, how can you call, Mufti Nafasi, and how can you do this? How can you say this? How can you write letters here and how? And then, he tries to belittle, Mufti. And after the conversation, then he says, no, he didn't even agree with him, but he just said, Assalamu alaikum, and then he walked away. Like, the thing that he's so rude. But actually, he's making Amal practicing on the Quran that when a child comes to meet you, the father of Mujahid, and the father of and the next Salam and walk away. And that's exactly what he does. So he was practicing on the Quran. And now, this guy by the name of Yafir, he's from the UK. He has very, very clear belief, very, very wrong belief. And the Muslim public must be aware of this person, the Shaitan. He believes. Now just try as a Muslim, like what you learn Aqaid in Madrasa and Muslim. He says a Kafir will go to Jannah. kafirs will go to Jannah. So now the question to him is, a lot of questions, but one question. So you are saying that those Israelis who are killing the Muslims, right, they go to Jannah. How is it that they are going to Jannah? Right? So that is belief, that the kafirs didn't get proper dawah. Dawah didn't reach them. Dawah of Islam didn't reach them properly. So therefore, they are not mukallaf. So they will go to Jannah. And that is totally against the Quran. Allah Ta'ala, it's on almost every quote is mentioned there. Khalidina fiha abada. Khalidina fiha. The kuffar are going to dwell in Jahannam forever. So according to him, there's no Jahannam. It means he doesn't believe in Jahannam. He doesn't believe that there's a thing called a kafir. Because all the kafirs are also Muslims then, because if they're not doing the Jahannam, then they are Muslims then. And so so why does the Quran, so if he's going against the Quran, so that's why he's a Zindir. Yes, he's off his iman. Because he's saying that, no, the Quran is not true. Allah Ta'ala says that, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَحْلِ كِتَابِ فِيهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِينَ فِيهَا. He doesn't believe in them. So why would Allah Ta'ala say that those kuffar, those who believe in kuffar, who make kuffar, the mushrikeen, they will dwell in Jahannam forever and ever. So according to his belief, he doesn't believe in the Quran also. He doesn't believe in the Quran, doesn't believe in the hadith. Then why did Nabi Ta'ala say jihad against the kuffar? They're not mukallaf, then why did he wage jihad? I mean, he doesn't believe in Allah, he doesn't believe in Rasul, he doesn't believe in anything. He believes in his own philosophy. And he claims he's an Ash'ari, and so people must be aware of this person here. Like, 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago, we had this other candidate, Suleiman, Omar Suleiman, Omar Shaitan. He was also here, and people flocked to listen to him. Now, this other chap is there in PE, I don't know where he's floating around in traffic at the moment. But if you happen to be in a masjid where he's giving a talk, he's giving salah, please don't be there. Just walk out. Please don't make salah there. So salah bihani is not accepted. He says, indeed, he has left, he lost his iman. And if you believe, things like that, the kafir will go to Jannah, the kafir won't go to Jahannam. Then what is the Quran all about? The message of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala tells us that the kafir will go to Jahannam. And he says, no, the kafir won't go to Jahannam. He'll go to Jannah because the message of Islam didn't reach him properly. So that is one of his beliefs, and we must be aware of this.
It's so confusing, that particular promotion or agenda of his, because that means Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst he was alive and he spoke to his uncles, but they didn't get the understanding of it. And they didn't, because he also says that if the message reaches you, but you don't get the proper understanding or the proper message, who gets the proper message? If Allah Azza wa Jal has not decreed that iman must reach you, then of course you're going to have some other belief or some other thing and say, but this is not true. And this is what so many of those who were living in the time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they had accused Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that no, this is something that is new. He just wants power. He just wants money and this and that. And that's when they offered him all these things. So that means the message which Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to his uncle, Abu Talib and the rest, because in Abu Talib's mind or in the rest of their minds, it wasn't the true message. And they can also say it hasn't come to us properly, and because we don't understand it, and the true Dawah hasn't come. And this is exactly
the Quran rejects what he says, because like I said, you will know. So what does that mean? According to him, what does it mean? And Allah Ta'ala give you aid to Iman, and Allah Ta'ala give you right to Iman. And what does Allah innaka la tahdi man ahbabta? And you do not give hidayah to whoever you want. And Allah Ta'ala is referring here to Abu Talib. Allah Ta'ala maybe doesn't want Abu Talib to accept Iman, Islam, but he didn't. So Allah Ta'ala told Nabi Ta'ala that innaka la tahdi man ahbabta, you can't give hidayah to whoever you want. So Allah is telling him that this is a kafir, Abu Talib is not going to Jannah. And even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even mentioned to us that he is going to get the lightest a punishment in Jahannam where you'll be wearing shoes of fire and your brains are boiled. Nabi Sam told us already, say he's a kafir, he's going to Jahannam. Now how can we say, you know, that even Abu Talib will go to Jannah, even Abu Jahl, where Nabi Sam spoke to their dead carcasses there in the well in Badr, they speaking to them that they're going to Jahannam. So it means he's denying everything. So really, this guy is a real shaitan. He is the agent of Iblis. He was made there in UK, there, one of the monasteries there where they produce. And there's a place there in the UK where they produce people like this here, where they study the Quran and Hadith. And then each of them has given some speciality to spew out in the world. This is their belief, and they must just promote this one thing. They must just go with this one thing. They get another shaitan coming out promoting it. They molded to act like Muslims, but they're not Muslims. And they study Quran and Hadith, and then they pick out one point, and that is the point they are going to promote in the world. To Abdullah bin Ubay, the Munafiq, the leader of the Munafiq. And he used to go to the Muslims, and he's a new Muslim especially. Now, you couldn't go to the those Muslims who are Muslims for very long. He went to the new Muslims, one who yesterday came now, yesterday and today, putting doubts in their mind and causing them to disbelieve in need Iman, and then rebel against the Khilafat and rebel against the Muslims. And so this is, obviously, there's a work of Iblis and Shaitan. And the work of Iblis and Shaitan will carry on until the day of Qiyamah, because they don't, Shaitan is, Shaitan, now, let's ask him another question. Is Shaitan also going to Jannah? According to him, Shaitan is also going to Jannah. Shaitan is not going to Jahannam, according to him. Because you can also, maybe he also comes tomorrow and say, no, Shaitan never gets a proper da'wah. Really, mind-boggling da'wah. But things are coming out nowadays. This is why it's so important that we must stick to what we know, what we have been taught in madrasa and in our masjid. Basic things that Allah Ta'ala knows everything. We must inculcate in our children the basic beliefs of Iman, that Allah Ta'ala's qualities, Allah Ta'ala's attributes. Because, you know, if they hear something out there, and we don't even know what our children are learning in the madrasa. Then Maulana can be from some institution, organization who promote these kind of things. And they, or who has a different appeal, he might be affiliated with a certain organization, who is on the hub. But his beliefs are contrary, and slowly, slowly, he tries to introduce things. So we must talk to our children, and see what they think, what are their beliefs. And we mustn't just go with it, no, my child is learning in the madrasa, I know he's learning the right thing. And what is he learning? Where is he learning? Who did he start? In previous times, when a person wanted to acquire dini knowledge, he used to inquire about, they used to make tahqiq of this, jarah and ta'dil. They used to character assassinate the person. If you want, you quoting hadith, who are you really? And what is your name? Nowadays, you know, we hide behind the keyboard, anonymous somebody, Abdullah sent this message out. If, who is Abdullah? Where he come from? And, what is he saying? Why is he saying that? Who did you start? In the previous time, they used to make jarah and ta'dil, they used to go and character assassinate the person. What's your name? Who is your ustad? What's your father's name? Where you come from? What town you come from? They find out who his friends, his childhood, where he went madrasa, everything. And then they say, okay, now you can take hadith from this person. Today, we just take Islam knowledge from whoever. And we don't understand who is this character, what he's all about, what he believes, where did he study. Nowadays, even where you study also doesn't count anymore, because you can study in a very reputable organization, and then you come out with a shaitan making YouTube videos and Instagram videos and things. So it is very important that we make this dua every day. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِيغْ قُلُوبَنَا فَعَدَيْ فَرِيْتَنَا فَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Because we don't know. It's how our heart will turn, our heart in the between the fingers of Rahman. It's how Allah Ta'ala wants to turn our heart, he will turn it. Today we can be speaking haq, and tomorrow we can be promoting batil. We don't know. Only Allah Ta'ala can save us and keep us on on behalf of the Jamaat and the Sufis.
Ameen. Just one more person that we need to also warn about, Mufti Saab, and I'm sure you also have got the news of this female. She's coming, I don't know when, I didn't receive any posters, but there is messages going about that she will be coming, Yasmin Mojahed. I don't know if that's correct pronunciation for the surname, but Mojahed.
Mujahid.
Okay, so yeah. So anyway, she has, Mufti Saab was just speaking about this, yeah, it's not, nobody worries where you studied and that. As long as you got some BS degree in psychology, and she does have one, and she has got a master's in journalism, and also mass communications from a university in America. So I don't know where this comes in that she's allowed to speak on deen and deen issues and that. But anyway, the Ummah also...
You know who's helping her?
No, I'm not too sure. I've just been told, please watch.
And she's a leader of the feminist. And all the women will go crazy for when she comes here.
Mufti Saab,
just because she wears hijab and then she speaks very eloquently and makes people respond more.
I'm sure it's also quite nice for the men because they must be drooling over all of
them.
But Allah save us, and the reason for this, we must just clarify for the listeners, is to inform you so that you know where to get your deen from. Inshallah, we'll meet you next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.